Thank you, guys. Whoa, we got a full house this morning and a lot of guests today, and we welcome you, all of you that are visiting with us this morning. And also want to make mention on the, as Bob pointed out, a couple things from our bulletin. Also, every week we have in there prayer for three of our young women who are out at Bethel. And they're all back here this morning. So why don't you guys stand so we can just recognize you. Great. So, maybe next Sunday we could have a few pieces of... You guys going to be here just January 1st? Okay. Yeah. Good. We'd love to. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. We got anything you want to say today? Come on up here. Yeah, I forgot. We're not meeting next Sunday, are we? That'd have been a problem, wouldn't it? Hello. Allie, everybody introduce yourself and say something.
Okay. I'm Allie Alagna. First, I just want to say again, thank you so much for those who supported us, me and Lily, in going financially. I've had a lot of, like, deep encounters with the Lord that are probably too personal to share. One thing I'll say that, like, the past couple months, the Lord's just been doing to me is just really revealing himself in such a personal way, and, like, how personal his love is as a father. Like, I never really experienced the father's love and how he is so intentional and how he knows every detail of our lives. And so just been growing in that and connecting with him in that way. And really just falling in love, you know, all over again with him. So it's been a great season.
My name is Miriam. This is my third year at Bethel, so it looks a lot different from their year, from being a student, because I'm in charge of students. So I have 13 students. I'm in charge of mentoring. In our group of like 60 to 70. And man, it's been really stretching, but it's been so good because my heart is for people and I love like the idea of counseling and mentoring. And I get to really like sit with, I have all girls because that's the way my mentor did it. I get to sit with these girls and just like love them really genuinely and just watch them cry because of the things I'm saying. And I'm like, this is a good thing, I hope. Because you're crying, because you're getting breakthrough, not because I'm hurting your feelings. But, just calling them to a higher level and giving them insight and into how God sees them and being able to just prophesy life into them in whatever situation they're walking through, whatever hardship they're going through. And just, like, literally things that I walked through in my first and second year, I'm like, oh, I know what you're going through. I know what you're walking through. I can help you because this is what God did for me. And so I get to be that, like, that guide in this journey, and it's so fulfilling, and I love it. And it is, like, what I was called to do, and I'm, like, I feel so myself, and I feel so alive in, like, my destiny, and it's phenomenal.
Hi, my name is Lily. This school year has been, it's been amazing. I've been, like, learning so much. And I feel like a lot of it is moving, like, as I'm learning stuff, it's moving stuff from my head to my heart. And it's, like, I see things and, like, I know things in, like, a different way. And it's, like, oh, yeah, I knew that, but now I, like, really know that. And it's like it's just like it's been like building a deeper connection and like a relationship with God, and it's just it's awesome. So yeah.
Thank you, guys. It's so wonderful to see you. So I want to encourage you to interact with these young women after the service. And Chris says yes. So that's right. They need to be stretched. So ask them for a word of prophecy. It's good. Amen. Wow, it's good to have you guys. How long will you all be here, by the way? The second. Oh, wow. Okay, so it's not very long. Yeah. All right. Okay, all three. Going back the second. You're not going back to next year. We got plenty of time. All right. We're trying to get ready here. How are we doing, Conrad? Sorry. It's my bad. I forgot something. There's the video. There's the PowerPoint. We're good, aren't we? All right. We are good. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Well, I was going to do an Easter message this morning, but I didn't think that. Anyway. So, joy to the world, the Lord has come. I've got a special song for you guys, and I've crafted this message primarily for our young people. So you guys got to give me some feedback afterwards whether or not I hit the nail on the head, okay? All right? And for all you seasoned veterans, you'll get something, I'm sure. I hope. You better. Anyway, okay. Here we go. Pretty good, aren't they? Yeah. Did a little research on the vocalist there, and the one man, the African-American man, actually his dad's from Nigeria, and he was a pre-med student at Yale and lived a year in China and speaks fluent Mandarin Chinese. Whoa. Is that a whoa? Say whoa with me. Whoa. That's a whoa, isn't it? Yeah. So the question that we want to ask this morning is, can we have joy in a world that is so messed up, so much stuff going on, people being killed, natural disasters taking people's lives, babies dying, all sorts of things happening around the world that are less than encouraging? Can we really have joy Can we have joy? Well, let me share with you an interview. I went through about a 20-minute long video, and I just picked out one little part of it. It was a fascinating interview. It was an interview with Israelis in Israel about Jesus as Messiah. Why don't you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And so there were all kinds of people all over the country. It was just really fascinating. But I just grabbed one little part for you to watch, and just want you to you got to listen closely because it goes pretty fast. But and the words are on the screen. They're talking in Hebrew, but the words are on the screen. And just catch what he's saying, especially right at the end. Conrad, you might need to start it there, brother.
מי זה ישו? כאילו, בבחינת מהמבט היהודית.
יש גמרא על ישו, במסכת סנהדרין, שהוא היה תלמיד של תנא, אבל הוא כפר בעיקר. הוא יצא לדרך שהיא לא הדרך של היהדות. הוא האמין בזה שכבר הגיע הזמן של העולם הבא, למרות שלא הגיע הזמן של העולם הבא.
אוקיי.
משהו כזה.
אוקיי. מה להוסיף? שאתה יודע. והשאלה, למה אנחנו יהודים לא מאמינים שישו הוא המשיח.
כיוון שלא הגיעה הגאולה. הוא סובר שהגיעה הגאולה ואין יותר עניין בלעבוד ולעשות מצוות. אבל היהדות טוענת שעדיין יש מה לעשות מצוות. כיוון שעדיין אף אחד פה לא נהנה, הנאה מוחלטת. אז ברור שעדיין העולם הבא אותה, כן.
Did you catch that? Redemption has not come because no one here can live in total joy. Redemption, not true, okay? We're going to explore that for a minute. Thank you, Justin. Actually, it was very interesting, the words that were shared this morning, and this never fails to be the case, it seems, but from both Lynn's and Melissa and Fred, all the words that were spoken are going to tie into what I'm hoping us to see this morning. But first of all, let me ask you a different question. Is there a difference between happiness and joy? What is happiness? I want to ask you, what makes you happy? Okay, now, I know you're going to say Jesus, and you want, I mean, since I'm the, you know, that's what you think I want to hear, but yes, but besides Jesus, okay, just you know, does pizza make you happy, or Starbucks? Okay, Pam, I'm asking the young people, thank you. All right, Joshua. You had your hand up, I thought you were going to tell me something. All right, Lily.
Things going as planned and getting my way.
Ooh, there you go. Things going as planned. I get that one.
Family.
Hey, that's good. I like that. Okay. Where's David? He's a good tennis player. I'm sure David, you enjoy it when you ace a good serve, huh? Is that right? That's good. All right. Andrew, you had your hand up.
Rap,
yeah. Andrew is a rapper.
Video games.
Video games make Alex happy. Rap makes Andrew happy. All right. And I'm very good at both of those. No. My nose is growing. All right, Lily's got another one.
Getting enough sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Playing piano.
Oh, playing the piano. Yeah, okay. It's good. So all those things make you happy, right? So, and I'm sure we could say many, many more. So is happiness something that endures forever?
No.
Okay. Everybody know that little song, If You're Happier and You Know It? All right, let's all stand up and do that. Okay. Come on, let's do it. Come on, let's have some fun this morning. All right. All right, you ready? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it and you really want to show it, and you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. One more. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. One more. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, do all three. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, do all three. Amen. If you're happy and you know it and you really want to show, You're happy and you know it. You all three. Amen. All right. That's great. Now, everybody feeling happy, huh? And I want to make you feel even happier. This message was going to be an hour long, and I cut it down to 30 minutes or less. That makes you happy, right? I see the smiles on your faces. When you leave here today, our ushers have an envelope for you, and it has a $100 bill in it for everybody. How does that make you feel? Happy. Makes you feel happy, doesn't it? Well, I'm sorry, but I need to tell you some other things. I just got a text on my phone, an alert that the stock market has just crashed. And and the Capitol building is being bombed even as we speak. Also, there's a meteor that's headed to the Earth, and by this time tomorrow, it will have hit us and wiped out all of the planet Earth as we know it. Now, how does that make you feel? So, and the Redskins and the New England Patriots are going to lose. No, that had a mix. That made some people happy and some people sad. Well, I think we all would agree that there is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is the result of what happens to us. Now, there's nothing wrong with being happy. Everybody agree? Okay? I mean, it's better than the opposite. There's nothing wrong with being happy. But happiness is based on what happens. And joy has its springs deep down inside. And that spring never runs dry, no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. He had joy singing its music within, even in the shadow of the cross. That's from S.D. Gordon, a man who lived quite a while ago. So let's look at the account of the Advent, the birth of Jesus. Today's the fourth Sunday of Advent. And if you have your Bibles, however you use them, on your phone, on your iPad, anybody got a real Bible, just a paper edition? You got yeah, okay, I see a few people do. Okay. And go with me to the account in Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. In that same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flocks. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Remember that word glory. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great what? Joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find the baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough, just as they had been told. We're going to stop there for right now. So let's just take a minute to pray. Father, we just thank you again for this great day and for this great celebration. We thank you for the reason for this season, the advent of our Messiah Jesus. And God, as we just plumb the depths of your word this morning, we just pray for your supernatural revelation to help us glean those pearls of wisdom and truth that you've set for all eternity for us to comprehend and understand now and forevermore. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the shepherds found great joy. Huh? The angels came how? With joy. Joy. With joy. The advent of joy. Joy to the world. By the way, that song, beautiful song, written by Isaac Watts, was never written to be a Christmas carol. Do you know that? It was never written for that purpose. In fact, if you read the words, it doesn't say anything really about the story of Christmas as we might think about it, but it does talk about the majesty of the Lord, of not only his coming, but his reigning and his return. Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's an incredible song. So, but when we think of the word joy, we want to think about the fact that it is the great note through all the Bible, according to Oswald Chambers. It is the serious business of heaven, according to C.S. Lewis. And joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God, by Pierre de Chardin. And then finally, and this person was not writing from a biblical standpoint. It was actually a secular author who's, I was listening to her podcast, and she said, joy lives on the plane that gratitude lives on, that grace lives on, that presence lives on. It is not a feeling, it is a state. Whoa! How about that? It is not a feeling, it is a state. Whoops, I'm sorry I didn't get it up there for you. There it is. It lives on the plane of gratitude, grace, and presence. Whoa. Gratitude, grace, and presence. It's because of God's grace that we are so grateful. And out of that gratefulness, we are able to enter into his presence and enjoy the great joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the steps to joy? Well, I'm going to give you three. Very easy. Jesus, others, yourself. How about that, huh? That's easy to remember. Jesus, others, yourself. That's all you need to remember. And Jesus is the source of our joy. He's the one that brings us joy. Let's just look at some of the promises that God has given us. Why don't you read them with me? He pursues you with goodness and mercy. Great is your reward in heaven. He will complete the work in you that he has begun in you. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. All things will work together for the good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Wow. Well, now, how about suffering? Can we know joy in suffering? Can we know joy in suffering? Can we say that we can we, if we're suffering, can it be true that we might not be really happy? Yeah. I had a bad cold all week. It just took me down. It never took me totally down, but it just was a pain, you know? And I wasn't real happy about that, but you know something? It didn't rob my joy. Might have robbed my happiness, but it didn't rob my joy. You see, and I realize that's nothing compared to some of the suffering that some of you have been through and some are going through. So please please understand me. I'm not making light of that. We can go through intense suffering. We have brothers and sisters in the world right now who are suffering for their faith in a very intense way. Their churches are being burned. Their homes are being destroyed. They themselves are being beaten, imprisoned, killed for their faith all over this world. And so the question we can have to ask is, can we still have joy in our suffering? Well, the early church went through a lot of suffering itself. And James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many. And I might just change that to any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Peter wrote, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do you remember the account in Acts when Peter was in prison and they were praying and praying and praying, and what happened? Thank you, Paul. Any of my young people know that? Yeah, Paul said it right. The chains fell off. He came, he was knocking at the door, and the girl goes to the door and says, oh, it's Peter, and then shuts the door in his face and goes back and says, oh, it's Peter. And they go, wait a minute, no, it couldn't be Peter. He's in jail, even though they've been praying for him, you know? And so that's a wonderful story. We all love it. But you know that in that same chapter, several verses before, it talks about the death of James. He was killed. He was beheaded. Do you think they're praying for him? Absolutely. Absolutely. One lost his life. The other got freed from jail. Both of them endured suffering. And so Peter is writing this, the one who's aware of all that has been and is going on through these circumstances. And he says that we are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy because you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Do you all know the story? How many know the song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Okay. Do you all know the story? Horatio Spafford, he was a famous attorney in Chicago, very wealthy man, owned a lot of property. And then the Chicago fire came and destroyed most of his poverty. He went from riches to poverty. Most of his property went from riches to poverty. Around that same time, he had a 2-year-old son that died. And then they decided, he and his wife and his 4 daughters, let's go to England. We need a rest. We need a respite. So they were getting ready to go to England on the ship. And he all of a sudden had a business matter that he had to attend to. He said, "You guys go ahead. I'll catch up with you in England. I'll catch the next ship." The ship that his wife and daughters were on collided with another ship. It sank instantly. All 4 daughters drowned. Only his wife survived. So he's lost, within 2-year period of time, all of his property. He's lost his business. He's lost his son. He's lost 4 daughters. And yet, he penned the words to the song, "It is well with my soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot that has taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Wow, it's powerful, isn't it? I don't know, I could do that. I mean, that is just so amazing that he was able to do that. And a song that we sing so often, not always really fully understanding the story behind it. Well, Jesus himself endured suffering for us. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What do you think that means, endured the cross? What do those words mean to you? What does endured the cross mean? Yeah, he was suffering big time. I think we all know that the cross was the worst form of execution, not only at that time, but probably that's ever been invented by mankind in all the history of mankind. It was horrendous. And yet he endured it. He suffered the pain. He felt the pain of those nails. He felt the pain of his back being lacerated. He felt the pain of being beaten. He felt all of the things that were put upon him. He felt all of that. And in fact, as painful as all of that was, I would render to say that one of the worst pains was that everyone did what? All of his disciples did what? Deserted him. Yeah, abandoned him. Betrayed by one of his own disciples. So he suffered physical, emotional, mental pain. He went through it all, but it says he endured it. How could he endure it? It's because he saw something else before him. He saw that joy. The joy of being joined again with his Father. The joy of sitting down at the right hand of God. The joy of knowing again the redemption and the peace that comes from knowing God. You see, when we reflect on God's glory, that's when we experience the greatest joy. When we reflect on his glory. And that's what Jesus did, didn't he? His last words were, "Father, into your hands I commit" what? "My spirit." He just said, "Lord, it is finished. Thank you. It is finished." And he was full of joy. just reaching out to God as Father, knowing the joy that can only come from that. In fact, Nehemiah, years and years, centuries before, wrote, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So it's not based on happenings, on happiness, but it's based on an eternal joy. I spoke about this both to the young adults and to the more seasoned adults. God lives in eternity. He lives in eternity. It's not timeless. There is no time. It is eternal. And Jesus, the scripture said, was born in the fullness of time. So God saw fit at a particular moment in time to invest himself in time, to come into time as a man, to live as a man, to die as a man, and to be raised again as a man. He entered time from eternity. And he invites you and me to join him in eternity, showing and seeing and expressing his glory. You know, that guy on the video, and I'm not picking on the guy because I don't even know who he is. He's not here for me to talk with him. But he said that redemption has not come because there is no joy. I'd like to argue that. I'd say that redemption has come. And because redemption has come, we can know joy, eternal joy, regardless of our circumstances. The gospel is the gospel of the glory of Christ. The battle for joy is a battle to keep on seeing glory. Seeing the glory of God is the fire of our joy. Melissa, where are you? Fire. Seeing the glory of God is the fire of our joy. As you bask upon his glory, you're going to be filled with his joy. It'll never leave you. It'll never forsake you. It'll always abide with you. Day in, day out. Week in, week out. Year in, year out. We were with some people recently talking about how God had apprehended us. He's apprehended you for eternity. He seized you for eternity. He's apprehended you. And I remember when I was apprehended, it seems like it was yesterday. It's a long time ago. But I remember my roommates, my classmates, they nicknamed me, they knew my love for Jimi Hendrix, and they nicknamed me Easy Rider, if you've ever seen that movie. And when I came to faith, they said, "Don't worry, it's just a phase. You know, first it was Jimi Hendrix, and it was Easy Rider. Just give him a few months, he'll outgrow it." Well, since 1972, I still haven't outgrown it. You know, yeah. And I can say with confidence that I've known all those years the joy of the Lord. I've known the joy of the Lord. It is such a joy to walk with him. And I don't want to pretend there haven't been difficult times, there haven't been disappointing times, there haven't been times of weeping and mourning over the loss of friends and loved ones and circumstances that have been very disappointing, etc., etc. But that's on the surface of the water. You know, if you go out to the ocean and you see the waves crashing in the ocean, 20, 60-foot waves, guess what's down beneath? It's calm, isn't it? Yeah. So it's like the current in the ocean, that current that's calm and peaceful, that's the joy of the Lord, regardless of what's happening on the surface. Seeing the glory of God is the fire of our joy. The very end of this passage that we read says they saw the baby, they were amazed, and Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, meditating on them. But then it says the shepherds returned, and their joy was turned to what? Glorifying and praising God. They were glorifying and praising God. And that's what God wants us to be in. That presence of joy. So just in a quick summary here, Jesus, Joy is the fruit of the Spirit from a consistently vibrant relationship with Jesus. Joy is providing brightness in the lives of others regardless of our outward conditions. And joy is knowing and being where God wants us to be. You see, God doesn't want us just to take this joy and just to hold it for ourselves and just to say, oh, I feel so good and so joyful. I'm sorry that you're really having all these problems, but I'm really feeling joyful. This is wonderful, you know. What does he want us to do? He wants to share that joy. He wants to be a conduit for his joy. It should flow through us and others. When people encounter you, wherever it might be, in stores, in businesses, wherever you're working, wherever you find yourself in your neighborhood, they should say, you're different. There's something different about that person. There's something different about those people. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. For some reason, they're always full of joy. For some reason, they're always finding the good things in life. For some reason, they're at great peace. I don't know what it is, but there's something about them that's different. They should be saying that about you. They should be saying that about me. Because we should be a conduit of that grace, using the gifts that God has given us. God has given us all different gifts, all different abilities, all different passions, all different ways of expressing his love. But he wants us to use whatever he's given us to bless others. God has given us the greatest gift he could possibly give us in his son Jesus. And we think of Christmas as a time of giving. It's a great reminder that we need to be giving. Not just at this time of year, but all year long. Amen. Well, I started with the video, and I'm going to end with one that's going to bless your socks off. And you got to read the words on the screen, though, because this one will really bring it all together. Prodigy. He's blind. In case you haven't noticed, you'll find that out in a minute. Completely self-taught on the piano. He loves music. And he loves to share it. He's also blind. Kuharu's music is a lesson for all of us. Never let your limitations, your disadvantages, or your adversities hold you back. Believe in yourself. Everyone has a life to live. Thank you. God has given us a life to live. A world to love. And the greatest gift of eternity is sun. This time of year, let us cherish all these gifts. But most of all, let us cherish the ability in each of us to love and bless each other, to give the best in ourselves, as Jesus Christ gave the best in himself for us. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Well, powerful, isn't it? Just absolutely powerful. Well, stand with me, please, and we'll close this morning together. Why don't you just grab the hand of the person next to you as we pray. God, I just thank you for every man and woman who's here today, from the youngest to the oldest, from the ones who have known you the longest to those who are newest to faith in you. And if there be those here who don't yet know you, Father, I thank you for each one that's here. And I pray, God, for all of us, that you would continue to open our eyes to see your glory, to walk in your glory, to bask in your glory, and to receive the joy that you have for each and every one of us, that the joy of the Lord indeed can be our strength, that we can walk in it day in, day out, week in, week out, month by month, year by year, constantly expressing your joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just touch everyone now, each and every person, I pray. Touch him with your joy. Touch him with your presence. Let him feel it, Lord. Let him know it, Father. Thank you, God, for your grace, your mercy that allows us to receive this joy. And Father, we just bless you and thank you for coming into this world for each and every one of us. And we thank you for the honor and privilege of walking with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Chris, Fred, did you have something? Chris said something.
I heard a new nickname for Randy. It's a friend of the bridegroom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you have anything? Okay. Well, let's be dismissed. God bless.